Okay, without further ado, I'm going to introduce, come on, Miss Angela here. I met her a couple years ago. She is fabulous. She's going to tell your story, her story about NEPT, all the community and connections that you can make, and also introduce Dr. Rita Marie. So give her some love and give her your attention.
Thank you, Tony. My name is Angela Tompkins. I also go by Angela Marie, and I've been in the health industry for about just over a decade and many modalities. And after finishing a degree in alternative medicine, I fell in love with functional medicine once I found it. As I found it, I was like, that's it. That's the one that resonates. Where's the school to go to? I'm ready to go get my doctorate. And then I realized I don't have one. And I researched several different options, and I came across Dr. Rita Marie in a summit and immediately just fell in love with her message, her inspiration, her words, her work. And I had a wonderful call with Jan, who I wish was here so I could give her a hug. And I jumped right in. I jumped head first right in without even really knowing what I was getting myself into. And it's been an amazing journey. It's been a couple years. It has changed my life. It has changed my client's life, my family's life. I was actually just inspired to tell the story. I'll keep it super short. My stepdad reversed diabetes in 6 months, and his levels were off the charts. I mean, his A1C was 12. His blood sugar was in the high 500s. He had no idea until his eyes started working again. And the doctors gave him medicine and said, this is your life now. You're going to take this for the rest of your life. And he said, no, my daughter taught me different. So in 6 months, he completely reversed it. But I wasn't even in the country. My mom didn't want to tell me because she was worried that I was going to stop focusing on what I was focusing on and get to work on him. And it was the years of me talking to him and telling him what I was learning and just inspiring him that made him know that he can change. And he went back and listened. So the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because even when you think that people aren't listening to you, you're still changing their lives. So Dr. Marie DeMarie has been amazing, and it was because of her that message went through me, and not just to my stepdad, but to several people. So she is a powerhouse, she's an amazing leader, and I have far more confidence stepping out into the world with my message, knowing that I have her and the team in my back corner. So without further ado, I got that sunshine my teacher.
Thank you, darling, you're wonderful. Right. Are you guys ready for some really major mind-blowing? Yeah. Yeah? Yeah? I want to introduce you to my friend, my mentor, and the most amazing person, one of the most amazing people and the most generous people I've ever met, JJ Virgin. She's a 5 times New York Times best-selling author, the first best-selling author. That she achieved was while her son was in the emergency room after having a head injury, and she survived that, and she went on to be a best-selling author. She'll tell you more. But she has been such an inspiration in my life, and I remember sitting in a place like this, sitting in an audience and going, I really want to be in her group, but oh my God, I can't afford it. Oh my God, I really want to be in her group, but the money, you know, all the stuff that goes through your head. I don't have the time and this and that. And I made a decision 5 years ago to join her group. And I tell her it's like the Hotel California. I just keep going back. Every year I join again because I get so much out of it. And that's what the community aspect is. So she's going to be talking about a process she built called You the Brand. And she's going to teach you how to know who you really are and how you position in the marketplace and how you can actually make money doing this. Who's up for that? Yes? So without further ado, I want to welcome you to my friend, my mentor, somebody who I'm eternally grateful for, JJ Virgin. Let's give her a big round of applause. Come on.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
There's the clicker. I'm coming down here. Is that cool? All right. Good thing you said yes. So who here? Well, first of all, who do we have here? Like, what do you do? Who are you? This is not a trick question. Like, are you like doctors, health coaches, practitioners? Who are you?
I'm
You're a badass. So you're a badass. You're a health coach specializing in cancer. Amen to you. All right. Who else? What do we have? So health coaches. Yes? Mom and wife. Me too. I'm a 3 times wife. 4 times New York Times bestselling author, 3 times wife. That's the final time, too. I promise, honey. He's back there. I never get it right the first time, ever. What else? Lymphatic therapist, cool. And?
Nurse practitioner.
So, why are you here? Do you want to, like, I know for me what's really important, like, what kind of makes me get up in the morning. What are you hoping to learn while you're here? What would, like, especially in the next hour, if I could give you something, what would make you super happy? Also not a trick question.
Money.
I thought money would be an evil word to say, so I was like, I won't mention the money part. What else? Because I will tell you, I've never been driven by money, although when my son was in a coma and they told me he was going to die and to let him go, money was helpful. So, and when my girlfriend, who has this amazing, I think that's, did you guys have the charity Just Like My Child here?
Yeah.
So I've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for my girlfriend making this impact with these girls in Uganda. That's what money's cool for, right? I mean, those are the things that drive me. So you can only have so many pairs of shoes and then it gets old. I mean, a couple are nice, right? But that's not the big, that doesn't wake you up and go, I had a great day today because I made a difference. So money, what else?
Changing someone's mind,
because when you change someone's mind, what happens? They can change their life. Because quite often, isn't it here that's the problem, right? Right? Do you want to change just one?
No.
No? How many?
As many as I can reach in my little trial. Hundreds.
Or maybe we could even... Whose mind do we need to change?
Mine.
Yes, okay. All right. Okay, we're gonna get along well. I was like a little afraid coming in here because I thought they're gonna think I'm gonna come in here and talk about money and business and marketing and they're gonna run the hell out the door. But here's the thing, and I'm gonna share with you my story first as we get into this because I think it'll be helpful. Is that cool with you?
Yes.
All right, because you'll see that this success took years, and hopefully I can help you shortcut this a bit. And that to me is what really happens with Dr. Rita Marie is she's just showing you how to shortcut your success, because we got a lot of work to do and we don't need to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how the heck to do it. Can you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, Sunday we could get an amen on that, right? All right, so here's what happened with me, and it was me, Mark Sisson of Mark's Daily Apple, and Body by Jake. First 3 personal trainers. They didn't even have a name for it back then. I was in graduate school, paying my way through the first of 40 graduate and doctoral classes. And so I knew a bunch, right? He didn't know anything. He was charging twice what I was charging. He was working half the amount. So he would go for 30 minutes and charge $75 an hour. He's charging $35 for an hour. He had a waiting list. I thought that if I just kept learning more science, I would be more successful. Anyone have that part? Now, it's important. But you can be the best kept secret. Does anyone feel like they're the best kept secret? Yes, I did for years and years and years. But this fortunately started opening up my mind. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the mentors then. But what I saw with Body by Jake was that I could spend all my time studying, and I have spent a ton of time studying, but that if I didn't understand the marketing, I was not going to reach the people who at the time, I was like, boy, if I could help a couple hundred people, that would be awesome. That was my big goal back then. Now, by the way, it's a billion, just so you know. So there I was in grad school, and you know what I figured out pretty fast as I was working with these clients? You couldn't out-exercise a bad diet. And so I started studying nutrition. And guess what I discovered in my nutrition classes at traditional universities. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Like, they were teaching this. I mean, I was like, unbelievable. Wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that we shouldn't be having aspartame. Right? But, you know, I was on Dr. Phil for a couple years, and I remember that I had to do this thing for McDonald's, and they had all the nutritionists standing there. The camera was on me, and the nutritionists were standing behind like this, the RDs, like, don't say anything. You shouldn't say. And it turns out they'd been sponsored by McDonald's. Yeah, so be careful where you get your information. You all know that because you are in this room. So, oopsies. So there I was doing now, I'd switched over to studying nutrition, and I was working with people. My goal was to help hundreds of people, and you know what I saw as I was working one by one, and it was cool because when I worked with one person, their whole family started to do things, but I thought, you know, I need to help more people. How do I help more people? And I think that the first thing that you always have to do is start with the right question. The question wasn't, why am I not reaching more people, right? There are no victims, only volunteers. The question was, how do I reach more people? How do I have a bigger impact? How do I help more people? And someone asked me to speak. And they said, we need someone to speak at our event. We pay $1,000. Do you speak? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I do. It wasn't my best one. But what I saw after that talk was, wow, I can reach so many more people. I need to start looking at how to do this. And what was interesting at the time, again, I kept going, how do I reach more people? Was I had a client who was in Nu Skin. And Nu Skin launched this interior design nutritionals. This was way back when. I got to go to the gym with Flojo. That was like one of the highlights. And what I learned from that, and I think everybody actually should be in one of those types of direct selling multi-level, because the things that you learn there are so critical, and I learned how to duplicate myself. How to be able to say something that was repeatable that I could teach to someone else so they could do it too. And, well, let's just check in on this one. Does anyone here ever feel like they've repeated themselves to a client? Right? And so what I noticed was I would say things to a client, they'd leave, they'd come back, I'd say it again to them, right? They'd leave. So first I thought, gosh, you know what I could do is I could just start recording what I'm saying. And back then we didn't have the ability to do this so easily, but what we did was at least give them handouts, and I recorded myself. That was all I could do so far. So I started recording myself, and then what I realized was all I had to do at that point then was coach, and that I could actually have them do it in a group. And what was crazy about that was I actually got better results, and I was starting to impact more people. But I didn't have any framework for this, and this is what's so important. You know, I had to figure out all of this stuff on my own. I had no Dr. Rita Marie back then. If I'd had a Dr. Rita Marie back then, this would have been, this 30-year span would have taken about What is it? A year? Damn, where the heck were you? I know you were. I mean, here's what's cool. And you know what's amazing about this? Naveen Jain says that it takes people from outside of an industry to go in and figure things out. And I really think that the fact that Dr. Rita Marie came from computer science, so she had a very algorithmical brain, right? And then came into this, that the little computer science whiz was going in there going, how do I make a framework of this? And when I came back from looking at this from the point of MLM, how do you make duplicatable systems so that you can then take your magic, but you have a framework that gives you freedom and confidence to do this? So once I figured that out, how to work with more people, what did I need next? Right? An audience. So I thought, I know. I'd moved to Palm Springs, California. I'll get on local TV. And so I did. I started doing a bunch of local TV. Because back then, I mean, there wasn't the stuff that you could do online. There really was speaking or TV or radio. That was kind of it. And I did a lot of speaking. And I did a lot of speaking for very small groups. I did everything that I could think of to get in front of more people. But my biggest thing I kept asking was, how do I reach more people? How do I reach more people? And the next thing you know, this is where I am, which is so crazy. I was working with a doctor, helping them with some of the things that I'd learned how to do. And they were on the Dr. Phil show. And so they brought me on. And I was on for 2 years, every week. Should have been a whoa. It should have been like, oh, that's fantastic. Except you know what I forgot? I forgot the thing on your website. You know that thing on your website that says, enter your name and email?
Oh, yeah.
That one? Yeah, I forgot to put that. I didn't have that on there. Yes, oops. But I kept thinking that if I just keep doing these things, that someone will find me. You know, and that's where it really, honestly, you've got to have a framework. Success leaves clues. That doesn't just happen that way. I was what is one of the most dreaded things to be, successful on TV and broke. Because every time I showed up there, I had to show up in a different outfit. So I had to get really creative in trying to figure this out because I did not have the money to do that. It was a mystery. I don't know what that slide was supposed to be. There it goes. All right. But along the way, and it's funny how when you really look at all the crazy things you've done in your life, it kind of is a whole bunch of research and development, right? Right? Especially for the mom in the room, any moms here, dads here, best research and development there possibly could be. So while I was doing this, the doctor who brought me on to Dr. Phil was buddies with someone at a place called Parker College of Chiropractic, and I was working with the president there, helping him with his nutrition, and he said, you should teach a course for Parker. I go, all right. So the hour course I was supposed to teach for Parker turned into 900 PowerPoints. It's sort of like probably what you feel like with Rita Marie. Right? I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, you don't have to give them everything out of your brain in the next hour. So I wrote these 900 PowerPoints. I created this course called Overcoming Weight Loss Resistance. Okay, so it wasn't an hour, it was 3 days. And it was amazing, I got to tell you, except that people would go to it once and they kept going back and back and back because people don't learn that way. Like, you've probably gotten a load of information this weekend. Yes?
Yes.
Do you feel overwhelmed? A little bit, little bit. Really what we have to do is take this over time, right? Take it, learn it, apply it, share with the community, then go to the next and go to the next and go to the next. But in this course called Overcoming Weight Loss Resistance, I had this idea. I said, you know what I need to do? I need to make it into a book. That's what I'll do. I'll write a book. Anyone here written a book? So I thought, well, if I'm going to write a book, because back then you really couldn't self-publish, what do I need? I need an agent. I should be able to get an agent. I'm on Dr. Phil. It'll be great. I mean, who doesn't want me? So I go to the top agent, at William Morris, and he goes, huh, what's your hook? The hook, it works. Like, what do you mean hook? Like, it works. I take three people through this process of all these seven factors that could get in the way of them losing weight or even cause them to gain weight. They get better, they lose weight. Isn't that a hook? Apparently that is not a hook. Not a hook. So I got turned down by him, by another gal, by another guy. And then, fortunately, this manager guy found me, although I just discovered he was a complete and total opportunist and just wanted to see if I could come up with anything that he could potentially sell, and if he could, he'd just collect the money. So he listened to me talking, and I was at a business event. It just, you know, it's so critical to be around people who can help you think differently. And all, you know, over the last 20 years, one of the biggest questions I get asked is, where did you get those arms? Was anyone thinking it? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, all right, okay. Well, I would get so sick, and where'd you get those arms, right? I was like, you know, try lifting some weights, I don't know. Anyway, so, but I was at a business seminar. I was at a marketing thing, and some gal came up and she goes, oh my gosh, where did you get those arms? And I'm like, I could sell this. There's the hook. Here it is. Told the manager. We went to New York literally in a week. Had this proposal, go to New York, sit down. The first meeting with Simon & Schuster, we go to lunch with this woman who's read the proposal. I take off my jacket. She says, I'll give you $50,000. I was like, oh my gosh, 50 grand. Like, I didn't know anything about the book business then to know that that is actually an insulting amount and that they will ignore you and that they just don't want anyone else to get it, but they're not going to do anything for you. In fact, they won't even put your face on the cover of the book. Throw that back up at the Garrett again and you'll see. They said brunettes sell better than blondes. You are smiling, aren't you? I saw it. I saw her go, huh. That's okay. All right. Okay. All right. So I write this book. Anyone read this book?
No.
You did? Oh, bless you. Thank you. I have a present for you later. So very few people read this book. You know why? Because I did not know how to get the book out into the world. Like, I wrote the book. But I didn't know what, I was like, now what? Now what do I do with this thing, you know? It's like, it was the same feeling as when I was in the hospital, I gave birth, and they handed me my baby. Yeah. I was like, are you sure you want to give me this? No clue. I was like, I should have gone to those classes, I knew it, you know? So, after that, where I have had a couple reprints of that book, because they printed so few, that it was almost like print on demand. So after that book, I thought, you know, when I write the next book, things will be different. Now, how do you get things to be different? You have to do different things, right? You cannot have another book and do nothing different and expect like things to change. You have to change. You have to do this. And the way I've always done it is find someone who's done what I've done, what I want to do, and go do what they did. Does that make sense? All right, cool, because I was a little like, so I was like, all right, I want to write a book. I want it to be successful. And who's done this? And what should I do? Because what was really cool is the first thing I knew is I needed the right agent who could really get this. And I met this woman through a buddy who was like a book whisperer. And she's listening to all the stuff I was talking about with weight loss resistance and food sensitivities. And she goes, that's it. And I go, what? She goes, it's that food sensitivity allergy thing. I go, it's not an allergy. By the way, when I first started talking about this, intolerance wasn't a big thing out there, right? So you know you've hit a concept when they don't even remember where it came from. It's just now a thing. Like, that's what you really want to have happen. So I was like, I say that because a lot of people want to hold this thing. Other people are talking. I was like, no, you want, like, release it to the, this is how we change the world. Not by saying, it's mine, by saying, let's get this out there. So she's listening to this, and it was funny, because so often the thing that really is your thing is here, and you cannot see it. You know, it's when you get something on your face. That's like your thing. It's right here. You can't see it. You know, and hopefully you've got someone, because when you're in the frame, can you really see the picture? No, you cannot. So she was listening to my whole thing, and I was so invested in weight loss resistance. And she's like, it's that thing right there. And you know what's so interesting is I would go do talks and talk about food intolerance, but I said food sensitivity back then, because we decided together, this publishing team, to call it intolerance. I'd talk about it, because I recognized early on that these elimination diets were way more complicated than they needed to be, because I was doing food sensitivity testing with doctors in their offices, and it was always the same foods that showed up. There were actually six that always showed up. I had to say sugar because when I first was doing it online with people and I didn't pull out the sugar, oh my gosh, what did they go do? They just went and ate more sugar, which made their gut more permeable, which gave them worse leaky gut, which got them more food intolerance. So I was like, I better put the sugar in. 2 + 7 sounds better, right? So yes, I really love these sevens. So she's listening to the whole thing. She goes, you should do that food sensitivity allergy thing. And that is literally where this virgin diet came from. Oops, there, nope. So it's not Rita Marie. It's actually wonky. I thought it was Rita Marie. I was like, what is it? So, and here's what's so funny. They didn't want to call it this. Can't call it virgin, you know. I was like, well, Richard Branson, it worked for him. I don't know, I think it's like. However, I am not, you'll notice I'm not wearing red because I am not allowed to wear red. Or trademark that. Just a note to you when you are looking at something, make sure that like you don't stomp on someone with a lot more money than you. Because the minute I try to trademark that, Richard Branson's like, no you don't. So we had to like work on a little thing where I said, please, can I please keep the name if I don't wear red? Yes. So this became the Virgin Diet. And I did launch the Virgin Diet while my son was in a coma, hovering between life and death. And people were like, they're like, well, you're going to, I had one woman say, well, you just go home. You just stay there with your son and your job will be waiting for you. And go, I don't have a job. Like, I have a book I've invested every last dime in. I'm the sole financial support for my family. This is going to take, I'm going to get this kid to 110%. I am not letting him down. I am here, and this thing better go big. And I did. I launched this book bedside in the ICU with my son in a coma. And I bring that up because I often wonder, what if success had been optional? Because if you're sitting here going, you know what, this all sounds cool. And I think I'll, next year, when that whole thing happened, I thought, gosh, what if I hadn't walked into that with like the mindset, being healthy, everything, like what if, you know? We never know when we're gonna be called upon to need to show up at the highest level. Be ready, don't procrastinate anything that you know you need to do to be the most successful. So I knew I wanted that book to be a big book, so what I did was I went and found a coach, and I've always had coaches. And the coach I hired is this dude. You guys know who this dude is? That's Brendan. His mom walked my dog down the aisle at my wedding. Mm-hmm. She was my bridesmaid. This is when you have a third wedding, you get to do all the stuff you could not possibly have done at your first or second wedding. Including, I had it as a fundraiser for Just Like My Child. And we raised $100,000. So it was super cool. And we had Mama B walk my dog down the aisle in a very cute dress with a little pearl choker. Super cute. Anyway, I did exactly what Brendan said to do because I believe that you go hire someone who's where you want to be and do what they tell you to do. And I had the exact same results. The only thing is, his book was only on the Times for a couple weeks. Mine was 26 weeks. So sorry, Brendan. However, it's just the point that success does leave clues. If you think that you're just going to be successful in a vacuum, right? I remember when I very first was like, all right, how to become more successful? And I started to listen to all these little conference calls, and I was trying to go it alone. Didn't work. Just lost more money. So I always look for the shortcuts. I always look for the frameworks. I look for those people who are doing what I want to do. All right, so that's the backstory of the, because people always look at you, do you find this, and they go, oh, it's easy for you. Right? Ugh. Well, of course he or she is successful. Look how tall she is. And look at those arms. Of course. Of course. Yeah, and I had a great coach early on, and she said, whenever you hear someone say that, add this phrase, so I don't have to. Because people feel like, oh, well, see, I couldn't possibly be successful. Like, see, because she's tall and she's got shoulders. I couldn't, I'm not tall. I don't have shoulders. I'm pretty sure we all have shoulders, though. All right. But here's the cool thing. I mean, here's what I've seen with success. There's one thing, and I was listening to Seth Godin this morning. I'm kind of obsessed with the Tribes book right now. I'm listening to it over and over and over again and building community. And he said, there's one thing that differentiates someone who's successful and someone who isn't. What do you think it is? Community is a big, important one, but it's not the only one. Mindset is key, important. It's actually commitment. It's making that decision that you're going to do that. But here's what's amazing is once you do, when you ask those right questions, how do I get to be a better practitioner? How do I impact more people? It's like the formulas are there. I mean, look at Rita Marie's put this all together. You got it, right? But the important thing here is that while we have this formula, what I want you to really take in is that you are ultimately the brand, right? You are the brand. So you've got you. And you've got who you want to serve. Because you actually get to choose this, by the way. You can pick who you want to serve. And you've got your niche. And you've got how you do this, your hook, You're a different approach. Plus commitment, I'd add in there. What? Oh, there you go. Smart one. So, just for examples, Tesla. Who's Tesla? Who's the guy behind Tesla? Elon. What about Apple? What about, this is so funny. Okay, so what about Kentucky Fried Chicken? I know I'm talking about a bad thing here. So, Tim, my heavy Tim's like, he's not a real guy. I go, honey, don't you know the story about Colonel Sanders at 86 finally selling the fried chicken recipe? Yes, he is. How about Virgin? Not me. See, it's red there. And the evil Amazon? Does Amazon not terrify you? Like, it's like, are we not watching what is happening here? It is frightening. Okay. So, bottom line is, we buy from people. We buy from people. And here's the big secret. Do you want it?
Yeah.
The secret? Okay. All right. You sure? Because that was so not enthusiastic. Do you want to know the secret?
Yes.
All right. So, if people buy from people, and you are the brand, what do you need to do to reach more people, to have a more successful business? You have to get better. You have to get better. And quite often, getting better involves a little bit of fear. Maybe a lot of fear. Maybe a lot of stepping out of your comfort zone. Where do we grow? Do we grow when things are easy and the sun is shining? Because I've never had a great, fabulous, amazing, perfect day and went, man, I became a better person today. You know? When I went through what I went through with my son, Grant, and I remember one of my girlfriends, one of my first coaches, I hired my first coach who really turned my whole business around. I made this commitment, and by the way, my checks were bounced, which I don't recommend. I'm not recommending that. I'm not recommending it. But it was making that commitment when I didn't have the money. I was like, oh, I should put this off. I'm like, am I going to put off my success one more day? Because no one's coming to save me. So if you want to save yourself, you have to take action. And what was I talking about? I was talking about Grant. Oh, I remember. So here's what she did. She contacts me in the hospital, and she goes, oh, I know why you're doing this. You're that one who's going to show, see, I can really launch a New York Times bestseller, Bedside with My Son in a Coma. I'm like, damn straight, I can. That's what I'm going to do. But what's happened since then of being with my son in the hospital when he was literally between life and death, 13 fractures, torn aorta, 3 brain bleeds, doctors telling me to let him go, and going through all of that and deciding that he was going to be 110%, that he was going to be better than before the accident, that we all were. And you know what's so crazy is the last couple months I've been talking to Tim, I'm like, God, he just seemed like he's like kind of stuck. I feel like he's not making any progress because he'd gotten to 110%. I hadn't set the next big goal. He's actually better than before the surgery, the accident, which is crazy. Crazy. But here I was sitting in that hospital. Now I come out of that whole thing and people, you know, things come up. And life can get challenging, would we all agree? Yeah, stuff comes up. I mean, we kind of know that. Here's a given. There are going to be challenging things. You need to be prepared. You need to have a great community of support. You need to have frameworks and tools. And once you go through tough things, you know what happens? It makes things you thought were tough before look like no big deal. Because now, my litmus test for is this a big deal is, anyone dying? Nope, all fine. Literally. So how do you become more you? I think the first thing you really want to do is figure out who you are and turn that volume up. Because quite often, we'll look around, and this happens a lot when I'm at events, and it used to happen until I really got this. You know, you'd look at an event, and you go, look at him or look at her. I want to be like him or her. Right? And you start to try to model that. And does that work? No, it's totally lame, right? I mean, that never, never works. What you want to do, and I love Sally's book, Fascinate, because she has you do this profile to learn more about yourself and how people see you, because ultimately, her whole thing is for you to be fascinating. And what I want you to do is turn the volume up on who you are, not become someone else. Become a better you, right? Through all of that, when you really look at what we're really doing here, this is the biggest personal development journey you'll ever be on. Yes, you need to learn the science. Yes, you need to have the frameworks, but you need to get a better you. And that's just ongoing. You never get done with that. So I was at this event has anyone heard of Wizards Academy? It's in Austin. It's called, by Roy H. Williams. He's the Wizard of Ads. And I went to meet with him, and I just met Tim, and we were sitting down with him, and he said, and I would never, like, so these are not my words, all right, not my words. He goes, oh, you, here's who you are. Because what he talks about in terms of making a unique you is look at where there's dichotomies that you might think, I don't want to show that one, right? So we probably want to show the science geek, the person who's really qualified, right? And he said, so you're like the Gwyneth Paltrow in Iron Man, where she's wearing the white top and the glasses, and then she takes them off and goes like this. I'm like, well, maybe, okay. But so he's like, you're bombshell science geek, but they're very different from one another, right? In fact, they're at odds. And he goes, and then I see that you're a tough mama bear. He goes, but I also get that you're shy. And I'm super shy and introverted. That's like the thing that most people don't know. But it's really important when you are showing more of you to not just show the credible you, which is the one we want to show everybody, but to also, you know, let them look under the hood, right? Because that's what makes people really like you. And we do business with people we know, like, and trust. And they want to know you. They want to like you. Not just see the credibility. They got to know that too, but I think we probably have a lot of that in spades. So I say that because then you want to make sure that everything you do really shares those stories. So I want you to look at these two titles. This is the same book that I wrote. Which one really is me? Which title? Obviously, right? The first one was my agent and publisher's idea. We'll call it Miracle Mindset. And I went along with them. It was such a big learning experience because it was an absolute flop. Because it's not me. I don't believe in miracles. I believe we make them. Because I'm a warrior mom. When that doctor said, oh, you gotta let your son go, I'm like, no, not my freaking watch. We're not doing that, right? So I was actually doing an interview for Mark Hyman's Broken Brain documentary, and they said, oh, we had to have you on. You're such a, like, you know, you're such a mama bear. And I go, I'm a warrior mom. And then I went, oh, my God. And we rebranded the book. You can do that. So let's go through the easiest part. And again, when we go to lunch, who's coming to lunch with me? Cool, because I've got all this stuff. I'll show it to you. We've got, I don't know where I put it. Oh, I put it over here. We are actually going to work through a bunch of this, and then you also get my entire course, because I know that we learn over time. But we're going to work through a bunch of this. I'm just going to share a little bit, throw this back up, share a little bit of this with you. This is the easiest part of what you do, is all the stuff that makes you credible. What I would tell you, too, is a lot of the stuff that you do for degrees and training doesn't help you actually go and do what you need to do, because they don't give you a duplicatable framework you can use. So, I mean, all those 48 graduate and doctoral courses, never once do they say, okay, here's how you take a client through this when they have diabetes. Nope, never did, right? You had to take all that stuff and assimilate it. And again, I'm like, where the heck were you, Dr. Rita Marie? Because I could have just saved a lot of time once I had gotten really good biochemistry and exercise physiology and kines. I could have just done your thing and then I would have been cool. All right, but the other side that's so key and critical is, again, the vulnerability side. You hear it all the time. I hear vulnerability and authenticity kind of makes me a little bit like, bleh, because it's being bandied about so much, and it really needs to be like, who are you? See, when I was writing that book, Warrior Mom, they go, you've got to tell them that you were scared or they will not believe that this story. You know, they wanted to put in there, oh, I was crying. I go, but I wasn't crying. I sweat. I don't cry. I just got into action. And yes, I was scared, but I managed my mindset. And they're like, this isn't really that believable. Like, you know, but you have to show them, like, okay, yes, I stood there and went, Grant, you're going to be 110%. Was I scared? Of course I was. Quite often, I'm scared almost every single day. In fact, my litmus test for am I playing big enough, can I make a big enough impact in the world, is am I a little bit freaked out and scared by what I'm about to do? And if I'm not, I need to go bigger, right? If things are easy, if you're just playing it safe, do the things that scare you a little bit. You hear that? It's on the Lululemon bag, for God's sake. It must be true. So what people are really looking for, have you guys read that book by Don Miller called StoryBrand? This is like the best. Write this down. This is a really good book, StoryBrand by Don Miller. And this is what he talks about. Our job is really to be an expert guide for our patient or client, take them through the journey. And they want to know that you know how to do it. And the cool thing is, quite often I don't know exactly everything, but I know I have the resources. You want to make sure that you have a community, that you've surrounded yourself, that you have support, that you have resources. But they also want to see your humanity, right? That's what makes an expert guide. But you are not the hero, they are. You're the guide. We talk so much about the hero's journey. I'm like, no, we're not the hero. I'm not the hero. You're the heroes. And then when you're working with someone, they're the heroes. You're the guide taking them through. All right, so why the hell do I have cookies on the slide here? What is she doing? So you ever go to the grocery store, and outside the grocery store, the Girl Scouts are sitting out there? I look at that and I think, you know, if I was going to sell Girl Scout cookies, I would go outside. I'm in California, they've legalized marijuana, and I would go outside the pot store. Call me crazy, I don't know. Like, they just went to the grocery store. They don't need more stuff. So I bring this up because when you want to offer your services, you got to think, okay, who is my avatar? Am I in front of a starving crowd? And here's the second part, and it's really important. With money. Starving crowd with money, important. Couldn't sell those cookies to the homeless. They'd want them. What don't they have? No money. If they do, they're buying what with it? Probably alcohol. So this is not what they want. So here's what's so super cool. Hashimoto's protocol. Do you all know who Dr. Isabella Wentz is? So Isabella had Hashimoto's. Makes her a great expert guide for other people going through their hero's journey, right? But what do we know about that Hashimoto's market? It was massively underserved. Massively. People were talking about being hypothyroid, but they weren't even talking about Hashimoto's. The fact is, 97% of the people with low thyroid had Hashimoto's. So she went specifically after that starving market and helped them. Now, if you're wondering, so how the heck do I figure out who my people are? I mean, the first thing I always do is, like, who do I want to serve? We do get to choose. But what we did, and I don't know if Facebook is doing this, bless you, I heard that they kind of stopped this, which is upsetting, but I'll give you another way you can do it. What we did was we took the people who I like to work with the most, who were our best clients, and we threw them up onto Facebook, and Facebook gave us all the information about them so we could find more people like them. So I could actually describe them exactly. I know what they watch, what they read, who they aspire to be, which health people they follow, which podcasts they watch, which blogs, everything, all of that. Now, I heard that Facebook stopped doing that. So if that's the case, what we used to do, and we actually just did something very similar to this recently, where we invited 10 of our top people to my house, and we just hung out for the day. And you know what was so funny? So here are the 10 top people. They could have been the same person. They were like, and they fell in love with each other because they were all so similar, right? And they all liked the same things. They watched the same things. They read the same things. So you really want to find out who are these people and what are they doing. I know exactly. Like I went to, with Tim, I got invited to go to Mykonos and paid to go to Mykonos, Greece, for Mind Valley. And it was going to be, it was me and Dave Asprey and Dr. Mark Hyman, two of my long, long time friends. I was like, this will be super fun. And I walk into the room to do this talk with Mind Valley, and Tim goes, no, not your audience. It's not my audience. Not my audience. Lovely people, but not my audience. I am so clear on who my consumer audience is. And that's what you really want to do. I know the words they use. I know their pains. I know their aspirations. Everything. You got to know that stuff so that you can talk to them and not get into your languaging, get into their languaging. And the example of that is this. So this overcoming weight loss resistance that I've been obsessed with, and it all came up because I was on Dr. Phil, and he was having people eat six meals a day, and he was literally doing low fat. He was doing cereal with non-fat milk, and I'm like, and the producer's like, you're going to freak out today at what he's doing, and I'm like, so what I did was there was one chapter in the book that talked about weight loss resistance, but it was only referring to insulin resistance, which is just the tip of the iceberg. And so what I would, how I worked with all these people, I go, listen, that whole diet plan he's got in the book would be great for someone else, but you have weight loss resistance. So, because they had to get results, right? So I just switched the diet. So I got obsessed with weight loss resistance. I've been using it for years. We query my whole customer base to see what they think, you know, what are their biggest issues, et cetera. Now, wouldn't you think they'd say weight loss resistance? No one used it. Zero. They call it weight regain. Be really aware of that. That's why it wasn't landing. They don't use it. All right, so here's what might be going on through your head. Well, if I niche, if I choose one thing, first of all, I'm good at everything. I can do everything. Like, I can work with any complicated patient. I can do them all. And if I niche down, say if I just decide to just do thyroid or just do adrenals or just deal with diabetes, then I'm shortening the amount of people. Then I'm going to have not that many people to reach. I'll have less of a business when I do that. Anyone want to admit to feeling a little bit like that? Just a little bit. Oh, if I niche, have less customers. It's what you feel like, but let's just think. What happens when you plug into Google? Everything. When you're searching for someone, if you had an issue with diabetes, do you want to go to the person who's the expert in diabetes, or do you want to go to the person who can do everything? Which do you go to? Right? And here's what's so crazy about that. So I doubled down. I'm like, okay, you know what? I do weight loss resistance before I did the query. And that was all I did, and that's where I was focusing. And the minute I put that stake in the ground, all of a sudden people were like, can you help my friend that got cancer? And I go, no, I do weight loss resistance. Can you help my friend that got Lyme, AIDS, this? I'm like, the minute I staked my ground that I was an expert, and how do you become an expert? Say you're an expert. I decide. I'm an expert. All right, so I'm now this expert in weight loss resistance, and I have more people from more places that are completely unrelated to that coming to me than ever before. Because people love experts. But it's also much easier to focus on one thing than try to be up and current on every single thing. It's like exhausting, too. You're never going to be an expert at everything. And it's also so much easier to collaborate with everybody when you have your thing. Like, my thing is food intolerance and carb intolerance. And so it's awesome. Like yesterday I did a master class with Dr. Alan Hopkins. Didn't you love him? Yeah. Like, isn't he amazing? So we did a master class. He did put himself on two pillows sitting next to me. I'm like, okay, all right. He's like, which I told everybody the minute it started. I go, he's sitting on two pillows, just so you. Anyway, but I was able to do that because hey, that's not my area. And then Dr. Tom O'Brien, I knew him 15, 16 years ago, and you know, before he started doing all this, I go finally and go, doesn't it make you mad that Dr. Bill Davis has Wheat Belly when it should have been your book? Enough already. Like, you've got to learn marketing, Tom. But I use him in my programs because he's the gluten expert. I used Donna Gates. We did this really funny video with Donna in one of my programs where she taught me how to cook fermented foods. Sadly, I hate fermented foods. I want to. I want to love yoga, meditation, and fermented foods. I like wine. Apparently, that doesn't count. So, but she's making me taste these fermented foods, and it was like that scene from Big with Tom Hanks where I'm like, she's making me eat it. I'm like, you know. But I'm able to work with all these people because I have my thing, and they have their things, and we can all support each other. Did that take away from my business or amplify my business? So think about this. Look at all these handsome people. So Dr. Tom O'Brien, when you hear his name, what do you think? Isabella. Dr. Alan Christensen. Dr. Amy Myers. Uh-huh. Dr. Sarah Gottfried. Brother Dave Asprey. There you go. Right? There was no like, nope. Boom. But when you build your personal brand, like if you look at Sarah started in hormones, then she built her younger anti-aging, and now she's doing a body and brain. Now she's moving really doubling down into genetics. Alan, when I met him, his wife hired me to be her nutritionist to tell her all the things that Alan told her. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. So she go, honey, this is to Alan, not to me. I'm going to start eating sugar because JJ said so. He's like, oh, good idea. That's great. Anyway, when I met Alan, he had this very successful clinic, but it was like all over the board. And I go, so what do you love? He goes, thyroid. I'm like, huh. So then he did thyroid, doubled down there, did his Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease, did this Hashimoto's Institute with Andrea Nakayama and Isabel Wentz. And then he goes, oh, I really want to do adrenals. So then he did the adrenal reset diet, right? Really got there because he's built a personal brand. So he can add, just because you start with a niche to create momentum, 18 to 36 months, then you can add another one. He started in thyroid, went to adrenals, New York Times bestselling author. His next one is metabolic reset diet. It is badass, amazing, because I've been helping him on the back end. So it's incredible. I know what he's doing. It's really good. So, but he can do that because he built this personal brand. Does that make sense? But he owned something first because you got to get the wave going. So I know, would anyone here a little ADD? Because I want to do this one and then, oh, I cut that. I've done that for 3 months. No. Own it. Get it going. Get it momentum. Get it stable. You can add another one. So here's the thing. I told you the story about Celeste, my agent, and me talking about weight loss resistance and her saying you need to do the food sensitive food allergy thing. I couldn't see it. And the funniest part is I was speaking all over the place and I would talk about all these things with weight loss resistance, and what did people come up afterwards and ask about? Food sensitivity and food allergies. I couldn't see it. So often things are right here, and that is why you need to work with a coach. You need to get help. You need to be with a group because they'll be able to see what you cannot see. Again, you cannot see the picture when you are sitting in the frame. Next most important thing, besides commitment, once you've committed, and who here is committed to reaching more people? Who here is committed to building a strong personal brand? And the people that didn't raise their hand are just... Who here is... will do a niche and understands that that's going to allow them to do a bigger business, not a smaller one. All right, cool. So you've committed. So the next thing you have to do is actually get moving, right? And you might go, but I have no idea how the heck to do this stuff. Well, the cool thing is you actually do because you've got all the frameworks. But the other thing is you don't go from idea to hundreds of thousands of books sold overnight, right? You go over time, and the biggest thing you have to do is say yes and take the first step. That is what you need to do. So I created an organization that Rita Marie is a part of. And when I did it, they go, you are crazy. Which always tells me I'm probably on the right track. But what I did, it started with 12 people because I was like, I kept going to all of these marketing things because I knew the way I was going to get the message out bigger was not to keep collecting more and more degrees, because could you agree we kind of do a lot of that? Like, I needed framework and marketing. Framework and marketing and a community. Those were the thing, key things I needed. And at first, I brought together 12 of us in the health field, and I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together, and we're going to collaborate. And they said, are you crazy? We're competitors. I said, we're not. We're snowflakes. We all have our thing. When we support each other, we will all get better. We'll all reach more people. We'll be able to hit my goal of 1 billion people by doing this together. We're not going to do it on our own, because on your own, you're sitting there going, is this really going to work? You have no one to ask. So if you anyone ever asked their family? And then you might ask your friends. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, that's never going to work. You? Who are you to do this? And then your imposter syndrome goes like, yeah, who are you to do this? And then you need to surround yourself with equally crazy people. So the rest of this, your approach, your through line, your process, we're going to be doing that at lunch because I'm going to work through this stuff. But I just want to leave you with this idea of what happened as I started to bring all these people together. And now in the group that we've put together, we've done over $50 million in book advances. $50 million. I heard that, I went, what? And why that's important is because that means that we are hitting millions of people. Like, to me, when I hear how many podcasts we have, how many docuseries we've done, how many blogs are out there, I know that we are changing lives, which is what we were all put here to do, make a dent in the universe, and that we do it together. So my biggest recommendation to you, number one, commit. Number two, take action. Number three, put yourself into a community that is going to support you being scared, support you stepping out of your comfort zone, support you stepping into a much bigger space, because we really have a crisis going on, and we all need to be doing this, right? And we can. All right. I will see a bunch of you at lunch. Thank you.